This is WCNY's The Capitol Press Room, and we're joined in the studio by Assemblymember Alex Boris, a Manhattan Democrat who is looking to amend the state constitution to make it easier for overburdened court systems to add more judges, including at the state Supreme Court level. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember.
Thanks for having me.
So what is the problem in the judiciary that you're hoping to address with your legislation?
The problem is that our trials take way too long, and our judges are backlogged and overburdened, and that hurts everybody. Everyone is in favor of having fast trials, fair trials, of course, but making sure we have the capacity to deal with everything that goes before the court system. But because we don't have enough judges, both criminal and civil trials are horribly delayed.
Now, you talk about the court system being overburdened. I don't think that's necessarily true throughout the state. Is this unique to your neck of the woods in New York City and the surrounding suburbs?
Well, there's challenges in many parts of the state. It's not just New York City, but it is particularly acute in New York City and Manhattan, because Manhattan is the center of commercial litigation, and so we have a higher than normal burden per our population of court cases that are filed.
And then how does your legislation begin to address the backlog?
Yeah, so the way to address the backlog is to have more judges. And as I just said, that is a problem throughout the state. And last year, I was able to pass a bill with Senator Hoylman Siegel that created 20 new judges throughout the state. But we couldn't add any new ones in Manhattan, the Bronx, or Staten Island because there is a limit in the New York State Constitution on the total number of state Supreme Court judges per jurisdiction, per population. And that was put in 1925. It's unclear that it ever had usefulness, but it certainly long outlived any that it had. And so while we addressed it throughout the state last year, and I think we could add more in the future, if we ever want to address it in Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island, we have to do away with this constitutional provision first.
So if the constitutional restriction is lifted, what would that mean going forward? Could the judiciary just say, hi, I need more judges, and we'd like to put some money aside for it, now grant us legislative authorization, or would there be more to it than that?
The legislature ultimately has to create the judges, and the governor has to sign off on it, but we would obviously be engaged with the judiciary as to where they think the needs are in order to actually produce the new judgeships in the future.
And the restrictions, is this just on state Supreme Court judges, or does this apply to, say, county court judges, other municipal judges, and a whole host of other positions?
That's a great point. It only applies to state Supreme Court judges. So in order to cover it, you'd have to look at, there's 11 or so trial courts in New York State, depending on how you count the individual county ones and city, et cetera. The state supreme is the only trial court that has a limit in the Constitution. And so the same way every other court, the legislature can expand the number of seats when needed. We just want to have that same provision for the state supreme.
So for something like this constitutional amendment or the law you got enacted last year, what was the driving force for it? So it's one thing to say the court seems overburdened, but was there data presented to you that indicated, yes, there are a growing number of caseloads, or the time to resolve a case has increased?
Absolutely. So you can look at it both the criminal and the civil side. One of my favorite data points about this is that Rikers, the New York City jail, which again, 85% of the people who are being held at Rikers have not been convicted of the crime for which they're being held, right? It's a jail to await trial, not a prison for after you're sentenced. Rikers has the longest average length of stay of any jail in the country, which is not exactly the same as saying it's the most overburdened court system, but it's pretty close. And that's even with a lot of speedy trial laws that the legislature put in place a few years ago. On the civil side, there's none of that speedy trial protection. And so you can look at the number of cases being filed versus those being resolved. And it has been going straight up from even before the pandemic, but really peaked up during the pandemic. So last year was the first time we actually closed slightly more cases than were opened in New York State, but we have a huge backlog to get through before we're in a healthy system again.
And to be clear, though, something like the conditions on Rikers and how long people are staying there likely won't be resolved by adding more state Supreme Court justices, correct? I assume most criminal cases are going through, say, county court or other lower courts?
Well, felonies are going through state supreme, and that makes up a disproportionate share of the amount of time spent in Rikers. I don't mean to say that this is the solution. There's obviously a lot to talk about, but I think that's one of the many data points we look at for how long trials are taking.
So the bill memorandum attached to your legislation that moved through the Senate this year and is still waiting passage in the Assembly makes reference to family court judges as well. What, if anything, does this bill actually do for family court judges?
So a kludge that we have been using, that OCA, the Office of Court Administration, has been using to deal with the backlog, has been borrowing judges from other parts, from other courts, mm-hmm. and moving them into Supreme as an acting Supreme Court judge. And so while that can somewhat help with the burden we're seeing at the state supreme, it just passes that backlog on to the other courts. And so you have family court or civil or criminal court judges that are made acting supreme. They're not given the full investiture and license that comes with being a legislatively appointed state supreme. But then you have one less judge in whatever court they came from to deal with the backlog there. And so it ends up affecting the entire court system because we are taking judges from where they were elected or appointed and moving them into state supreme.
Well, before we move on, let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining us. This is the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Assemblymember Alex Boris, a Manhattan Democrat. So if the state does move forward, adopts your constitutional amendment, and then decides to increase some of the state Supreme Court ranks in the New York City area, it could cost more money. Or theoretically, you could move state Supreme Court judge positions from one area to another if it's deemed that there are, say, maybe not the same demands elsewhere. And this is something we've looked at specifically here in Albany County, where the number of state supremes has kept growing, but their caseload has been stagnant. Do you think there is any appetite to move resources around the state, or is this sort of an entrenched fiefdom, and once these judgeships are created and once these judges are in place, there's really no moving them out?
I think it's a really good thing to look at where the demand is, but I think we have so few judges that primarily, no one's interested in moving them out of one place. We just need to create more in many other places. So I don't think this will lead to a reallocation. Again, I think that's just spreading this backlog around. I think we need to create brand new ones. Maybe there are some counties that don't need new ones, and so they'll stay at their current level. But there are definitely counties that desperately need them.
So is there any appetite, though, for right-sizing other courts in any way, shape, or form, whether it is upstate state Supreme Courts or even the other number of other judges outside of the New York City area?
I don't think anyone has an interest in reducing the number of judges. That's not something I've heard and not something that I'm targeting. It's about getting more judges to the places where they are absolutely needed.
What about housing court? Is there need for the housing court to be beefed up in New York City?
Absolutely. So, you know, Rowan Wilson came up to Albany, the chief judge, and said that the thing that keeps him up at night is housing, because there's only so much that courts can do, and housing court has its own challenges, but he can't build more housing. This is a big problem throughout the state and in many surrounding states. We need more judges to deal with a lot of the capacity problems. Now, with housing court, again, there's many pieces. I support a right to counsel for anyone who's coming before housing court. I also think there's more diversion programs and other bits we can step into before you reach an eviction proceeding. But absolutely, having long delays and unclear results from that court doesn't serve anyone.
In addition to the trial level backlogs what we've been talking about, we've also heard gripes from attorneys about the appellate process taking a long time. Is there a need to increase the number of mid-level appellate judges in New York? And if so, is that something that requires a constitutional change or other additional authorization from the legislature?
There may be a need. Trial court levels, there's no constitutional limit. As you go up, there sometimes are, right? Until you get, obviously, to the Court of Appeals, which has a very specific number. And so that might be a thing to look at in the future, but it really just feels like the bottleneck is at state supreme. And that's why you see a bunch of groups that are not normally allied together all fighting for the same thing. We have support from defenders organizations and groups like CCA. We have support from prosecutors like Alvin Bragg. We have support from the business community, like the Business Council and the Partnership for New York City. And everyone is coming together to say, we just need faster courts, and the state Supreme is really the workhorse of the whole system.
So the Senate version of this bill is carried by an attorney who is also the chair of their Judiciary Committee. You've got a science-y background, not an attorney, although you're dressed like one today, so maybe you could pull like a suit sort of issue there. But how did this become your baby?
Well, I'll remember to wear flip-flops and shorts and dress like a software engineer for our next radio broadcast.
I appreciate that.
No, this became my baby because during the campaign, I kept hearing from people that from a criminal justice reform perspective, saying people are wasting away in Rikers awaiting trial, and people from a public safety perspective saying, how is it that someone can commit a crime and then be released and while awaiting trial commit another crime? But the key words in both of those perspectives is awaiting trial. And so I kept digging into, okay, how can we speed up the trials? What's holding it back? And I said we should add more judges, and why hasn't this been done? And it was actually a conversation with my predecessor right after I won the primary. And he said, well, the reason it hasn't been done is because there's a limit in the Constitution. And so that became one of my focuses immediately upon coming in.
If you are successful in amending the Constitution, what is the timeline for actually realizing that? Would 2024 represent first passage of this issue?
Exactly. So for any constitutional amendment, I know you know this, but for listeners at home, it needs to pass both houses of the legislature. Then there needs to be an election. Then it has to pass both houses again, and then it can go on the ballot. So the soonest it could go on the ballot would be 2025. I think it's much more likely to go on in 2026 because we want it to be at a place where the most number of voters are participating. But we're really looking at 3 years in order to pass this, which I keep emphasizing because it is not the only thing we need to do when it comes to improving the judiciary. I think there's been a lot of other interesting proposals. The New York City Bar Association, for example, which has made this their top legislative priority, has said they also want statutory changes to ensure that judges are allocated to where they're needed most and using more of a formula that other states have done in order to do that. I've heard similar comments from the current Supreme Court judges, and all of those are really good ideas that we should evaluate. They're statutory, though, so they only take a year to pass and get in, whereas this is going to take us three. And so it's really important that we take that first step now.
And the judiciary is getting a pay raise, so I have to imagine you feel like there will be qualified candidates clamoring to fill additional posts if they are to open up?
We're lucky to have be in a state where many, many people want to serve in many different places, so there's no shortage of people that could do a great job in this seat. In fact, the Association of Acting Supreme Court Judges, which represents over 300 judges statewide, has come out strongly in support of this as well, because they don't want to be pulled from their court to be serving in a partial way. They said we should make full Supremes so that we can get rid of the backlog in both places.
Do you think this should curtail our use of Court of Claims judges moving forward? Because they've been serving in an acting Supreme position, even though they're just political appointees?
I think that gets to the point of we're best served when we have fewer acting because we have filled the need, right? We shouldn't just get rid of acting. They're currently doing a really important job. But the more that we can actually just have appointed in the place where they're supposed to be, the better.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblymember Alex Boris. He is a Manhattan Democrat. Assemblymember, thank you so much for visiting us in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by National Fuel and its shareholders, a utility providing natural gas service to heat homes and businesses across Western New York. Information on National Fuel's response to proposals to transition away from natural gas service is available at betterplannobans.com.